In the day's other news, the U.S. has reached a partial trade deal with China after a 15-month-long trade war. President Trump agreed to suspend a $250 billion tariff hike on Chinese goods that was set to go into effect Tuesday. In turn, China pledged to buy up to $50 billion in U.S. agricultural products. The president announced the progress this afternoon.
So now we're getting it papered, and I don't think it should be a problem getting it papered. I think that China wants it badly, and so we want it also, and we should be able to get that done over the next 4 weeks.
But the world's two biggest economies will delay any decisions on more contentious issues, like U.S. claims that China is forcing countries to turn over trade secrets in exchange for access to the Chinese market. They plan to address those outstanding issues in future negotiations. Word of the partial U.S.-China trade deal sent stocks soaring on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 320 points to close at 26,816. The Nasdaq rose 106, and the S&P 500 added 32. More than 100,000 people are under evacuation orders as a wildfire rages in Southern California. So far, 1,000 firefighters have been deployed along the northern edge of Los Angeles. At least two people have died. The Saddle Bridge fire started raging overnight, fueled by strong Santa Ana winds. Planes dropped fire retardant chemicals on the flames. Officials urged residents to heed orders to leave.
This is a very dynamic fire. The public can help us by listening to police officers and firefighter directions, especially when we're talking about evacuations. Do not wait to leave. If we ask you to evacuate, please evacuate.
Southern California utility Edison turned off electricity for about 20,000 people. It warned that thousands more could be affected. Meanwhile, in Northern California, the lights were back on for more than a million people impacted by planned outages. But Pacific Gas and Electric said that more than 300,000 customers were still without power. Fire officials also reported that a man who relied on oxygen died 12 minutes after losing electricity. The casualties are mounting on both sides as Turkish forces advance farther into northeast Syria. Turkey claims to have killed more than 300 Kurdish fighters. About 100,000 civilians have been forced to flee. Meanwhile, two car bombs exploded in the Kurdish-controlled urban center of Kamishli, a city that has been heavily shelled by Turkish troops. Lindsay Hilsum of Independent Television News was there today and filed this report.
Kamishli was calm until this week. The war was over. People dared to think peace might last. This was the scene today, after a massive explosion in a different part of town. At first, people thought it was another mortar. There have been 3 days of attacks now. We arrived about an hour later, as the smoke began to clear and the damage became evident. This was not a rocket, but a car bomb. The vehicle that carried it, utterly destroyed.
This is right in the middle of Kamishli. People don't know exactly what happened. There was an explosion, they said, and you can see it must have been huge. See all the damage that's been done. Kamishli was peaceful, but people are now afraid of two things. They're afraid of the Turks attacking, and they're afraid that there may be sleeper cells of the Islamic State here in the town.
The car bomb was most likely planted by fighters from IS, Daesh as they call it, who went underground when the caliphate was defeated earlier this year. Now, Kurdish forces are too busy fighting the Turks to catch terrorists.
We want Europe to hear our voice. And Trump, who abandoned us, we fought Daesh side by side with his soldiers, and now he just pulls out his troops and left us alone. Let Trump hear us.
They know they can't defeat Turkey alone.
That report from Lindsay Hilsum of Independent Television News. The Pentagon announced today that it will send nearly 2,000 additional troops to Saudi Arabia to help protect against Iran. That is in spite of President Trump's recent pledge to reduce the U.S. presence in the Middle East. The U.S. will also move several dozen fighter jets and other air defenses. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper announced the deployment.
Iran's attempts to use terror, intimidation, and military force to advance its interests are inconsistent with international norms. Saudi Arabia is a long-standing security partner in the Middle East and has asked for additional support to supplement their own defenses and defend the international rules-based order.
The troops will join more than 10,000 American service members who are already deployed across the Middle East. A super typhoon is barreling toward Japan today, threatening to dump as much as 30 inches of rain. It's expected to make landfall south of Tokyo tomorrow. In the meantime, grocery stores in the capital city were packed as people stocked up on last-minute supplies. Elsewhere, residents on Oshima Island boarded up their homes and shops. In Ecuador, anti-government protests against a fuel price hike ground the capital city to a standstill for another day. At least five demonstrators have been killed in the last week of unrest. Protesters in Quito threw rocks at police, who then fired back with tear gas and rubber bullets. One demonstrator insisted that their strike will continue until their demands are met.
Nos vamos hasta conseguir.
We are not going to stop until we reach our goal. But right now we are being repressed. They are killing us with these weapons. These are not rubber bullets. These are real bullets. Bullets that kill people.
Government operations have been moved outside of the capital, but Ecuador's president has refused to step down. The gunman who attempted to attack a German synagogue Wednesday has now confessed to carrying out the shooting, and he acknowledged being motivated by views that are anti-Semitic. The rampage happened on Yom Kippur, Judaism's holiest day. The attacker was unable to enter the synagogue's locked doors, and instead he fatally shot two bystanders outside. He faces two counts of murder and seven counts of attempted murder. A new report out today has found that Boeing withheld key information about its 737 MAX plane from pilots and safety officials. The panel of international aviation regulators also found that the Federal Aviation Administration lacked the expertise to review the plane's automated flight control system that is linked to two deadly crashes this year. The 737 MAX is grounded while Boeing works on software updates. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said today that his recent heart attack has made him more aware of the need for quality, affordable health care. Sanders, who is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, suffered a heart attack last week. The 78-year-old spoke to reporters today outside his Vermont home, where he's been recovering.
My recent heart attack has made me think even more about health care. This is America, and you have millions of people today who are sick, who have symptoms, who are not going to the doctor because they are fearful of the incredible medical bills they are going to receive.
Sanders said that he will attend next week's Democratic primary debate in Ohio. It will be his first public event since his heart attack. And the Washington Mystics are celebrating today after winning their first ever Women's National Basketball Association championship. Congratulations. Still to come on the NewsHour, how Ethiopia's prime minister made peace with his neighbors and won the Nobel Prize. One-on-one with former National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Plus, Mark Shields and David Brooks break down a week's worth of impeachment news.